You are listening to Blue Mountain Radio, KQBM LP 103.7 FM West Point, KQBM 90.7 FM San Andreas.
Oh, yes! Yes!
I'll have what she's having.
As we go marching, marching in the beauty of the day, amid that a sudden sun discloses, for the people hear us singing, bread and roses, bread and roses. As we go marching, marching, we battle too for men, for they are women's.
Welcome to Every Woman's Hour. This week we have a wonderful interview for you on KQBM Blue Mountain Community Radio of a woman making a difference in her community in the Motherlode through the music that she's involved in, the band that she songwrites for as one of the chief songwriters, and that she has put all of her efforts of the last chapter of work for her life into. This is Patricia Jackson, and the band is McCallamy Crossing. So let's listen to her interesting life and views, and actually a little bit of music from McCallamy Crossing as well.
But we fight for roses too.
Here we are on a beautiful, almost summer day at Manzanita Arts, where I have been talking with Monica Rose and with Patricia Jackson, who she has asked to be with us today on Every Woman's Hour. And I'm very pleased to have her with us because it is not usual for us. I think that she may be only the fourth or fifth person involved with the music arts of the Motherlode to be on Every Woman's Hour to talk to us about how her work and her life is making a difference in her community, this community of music and writing as well, I understand, here in the Motherlode. So this is, I'm ready for a lot of fun here because we've already been discussing things like crazy. I probably exhausted her and we haven't even begun the interview, but that's all right. We're forging ahead anyway. What I've learned first is that you are a member, perhaps a founding member, you'll need to let us know, of a group that plays here in the Motherlode. What is the name of your group that plays music here in the Motherlode, please?
In the Motherlode, it's called McCallamy Crossing.
It's called McCallamy Crossing. And I'm going to say that not lightly, because my husband and I know a great deal about the music and the Motherlode, and I think I've only a couple of times heard of your group and had not yet had a chance to hear it. However, Monica was playing some of the work, and I thought, well, I have heard that. Where? I'm not sure, but I've heard your work. I definitely have heard your work before. So I know that many people have heard it. How long has McCallamy Crossing been here in the Motherlode?
Well, we began in 2006. We played at the Taste of Calaveras up here through the Calaveras Arts Council, or I think it was one of their events. And the Taste of Calaveras represents the local artisans, and they asked me to come and play some music that I had. So I was going to go solo, and I decided that I would ask my son-in-law, Jason Smith, along if he would like to come and play on that day. And he said, sure. He's also a musician from out of Loda, California at the time. And so we took that event on and had a really great response. And then after that, a year later, they asked us back. And Jason was busy doing his own recording because he He is also a singer-songwriter and now living in Motherlode. And so I asked a friend, an old friend, Gil Vanover, who's in my current band, if he would like
Gil, to come.
Gil Vanover.
Gil
Vanover. He plays lead guitar in Macomb Crossing. And I asked him if he would like to come and join. And he and Jonathan Lack, who plays a lot of different instruments in the band, he also came. And we did another year there in 2007. And then in 2008, we went back as a trio. And we began to work in my studio around 2008, trying to put together a band that we would take out as an acoustic ensemble.
Okay, so this is an acoustic ensemble still?
Well, we've actually expanded. We were that way for quite a while, in 2008 to 2011. And then we added John Hoffman, who is a Nashville studio musician for a bass player. And he also sings. And so we added him. And then a lot of these jobs that come up for me are through my husband and some of the connections that he has. So we played for Jagged Lines of Imagination, which was a concert in Stockton. And so we went down there as a foursome and played on the street down there. The guy that ran it has an art gallery where he teaches students, basically. He was a teacher in the same school as my husband. And so we went down there and we played that day, and then we just kept going. And, just working on my music at first, and that's did basically all original music at the time.
Okay, so we're taking this as an isolated thing in your life, an isolated constant happening in your life, this music. But all of you are people is music everything that you're doing now? Or are you all retired? Or what's kind of the demographics of who you are?
Well, currently we have myself, who was a graphic artist for many years. Oh, I'm sorry.
Louder.
I have a low
Thank
voice.
You. Okay.
I was a graphic artist designer for many years and ran Jackson Graphic and Production Company. So I did that. I ran a graphic, I did a car ad agency, opened one, and ran their agency for several years, and also worked as a freelance artist. Worked in public television in...
Wait. Oh. Let's back up a little bit here. Okay. So you're... background, along with the music, which it sounds like you were doing,
right,
is also that you are an artist.
An artist, uh-huh.
Okay, and mainly your work has been, which happens for many artists when they're in their work part of their lifetimes, you got involved in the graphic arts,
right,
and ran an ad agency.
Right, I ran an ad agency for one of my clients. I went in-house. First I worked at home and started my own business, and then I went in-house and worked for them as a graphic artist and designer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you...
From there, are you talking about the rest of the band? I had played with Gil for about 21 years, on and off. He's a manager at down at the public Delta College. So he's managing.
So he's at Delta
there.
College.
He's working down there still. John Hoffman is retired, and John Lack, he's a pharmaceutical, he does translations all over the world. He's a very interesting man. He also plays multi-instruments in the group, fiddle, cello, banjo, mandolin, all
okay.
manner of
things. So this is your avocation then. The music is an avocation that
yes.
you love.
I love music, yes. I played music for many years. I'm starting out just buying a guitar and having a little heartbreak in my life and then learning how to convert those feelings and emotions into the music.
What kind of music are we talking about here for Macomb Crossing, but also for you?
For me, blues. I started out in blues, and then I went to more of a contemporary... acoustic, soft rock genre. But in Macomb Crossing, we do a wide variety because everyone has different influences.
What kind of wide variety?
So
what do you like to do?
Well, we do Celtic music. That's John's flavor.
You do what?
Celtic music, a little
Irish
Celtic music.
The Celtic music,
yeah,
okay.
Which is really special.
Okay.
And then we do rock. some cover tunes. Gil was a kind of a rock and roller, and so did our drummer Doug Spainhauer, who just currently joined us. He's also comes from a rock and roll background. And then myself, of course, I do ballads, and I do a little bit of rock and roll.
So when you're doing ballads, Celtic, that's Americana?
Americana. We call it Americana with a twist. A foothills
Americana
twist.
With a twist.
With a foothills twist.
With a foothills twist. Okay, that's excellent. I like that. What kind of gigs do you get around here?
Well, we're playing a lot in the Amador County. They've been very supportive. Jonathan has a lot of connections there. He played with the late Ken Blake. He and Gil both played in his band.
Yes, this is something that you and I had talked about, because I have such an interest in Ken Blake, and we'll talk a little bit about the in this interview about the Amador Calavera songbook that's coming up too, so that people will understand why this Ken Blake association is important. But tell people a little bit about Ken Blake, since you brought that up.
Well, he's a phenomenal writer. I have a lot of respect for him. I went online once the band brought the songs in. Anything Goes is a song about the
firemen.
Firemen that come and take care of us all up here, which, by the way, they are the best in the county. We also do, let's see, Anything Goes. We do Not a Day Goes By, which is a story about a man that, well, it's a story about himself coming across someone who was in the woods who had passed away, and he found this song, I guess, in his pocket or something. And anyway, he turned it into a song.
All of his songs are songs about life in the motherlode that is not glamorized, and as a result, it's not the life. It's about everyday life.
Right.
Raising your dogs.
Mm-hmm. The Chinese rock walls of Amador County.
Yeah.
We sing that a lot talk about the tribute, you know, where the Chinese came and built all the walls. And,
yes. So. Yeah, there's this song, Amador County, in fact, is going to be at the beginning of the dedication of this book, and we're hoping to find, I think we're going to probably put in, there's one for Calaveras that's like that. But a woman in this area has written one called Calaveras. It's a really good one. Those will probably be the two first songs of the book, because they describe the counties. So, and I was pleased to find out.
It's a small world.
That is a small world.
There's somebody
else out there loving Ken Blake's music was very important for me to hear. Okay, so why do you think that Monica thinks that this interview was important to talk about you making a difference in the motherlode? What do you see that you're doing as a woman that contributes to this whole band? It sounds to me like you're the only woman in the band.
I am the only woman in the band, and I think I've taken the leadership role, although we all are so polite, we kind of share the role. I think that my music is important. A lot of it, the last two albums I have, Eggshell Paint, and the one before that one, Out of the Blue, both of those were basically written in my Burson studio. The songs were written. They've been recorded elsewhere, sometimes in Jackson, sometimes in Stockton. It depends on, you know, the timing in the studio that's available. But yeah, I feel like I too really appreciate this Calaveras County life, the foothills life. I've been received into this community long ago, and I, you know, it is my life. It is my home up here now. I've been here 20 years.
You've been here 20 years. And by here, do you mean in Amador or in Calaveras?
In Calaveras.
In Calaveras. Why did you pick Calaveras?
Well, my husband was in real estate. He was a teacher, but he was also in real estate at the time, and we were looking for a piece of land, and we were living in Lodi, and we drove up here, and we found one piece, and we kind of, well, I don't know, it looks a little close to the road, I don't know, but it was, you know, something that we did again and again. We kept driving around trying to find something up here, because we like being in the country, and so we came to, he found a piece that came in, And we drove there and we walked the land. And really, why I bought it, not was it only the most beautiful piece, but you could hear the rain actually hitting on the grass. And that sound, there was no sound but that. And so one of my songs is a tribute to that, too. Sometimes in the middle of the morning, all there is silence. It's,
So you are then a songwriter who is using a lot of our local surroundings in your songs at this point in your life?
I would say yes.
Tell us about some of those songs. Well, what are some of them about?
I say the last one that we recorded three of my songs with McCallum Crossing in 2016. We're just starting the process, and it's been a rather long one to try to compile songs that are consistent. But Cry of My Own Baby is basically about the Mokelumne River and about being able to, floating down the river of dreams, understanding how once you have the opportunity to reflect on life, how you begin to hear your own internal cries for expression, your own, the beauty that you see, how you want to describe it, the time that has passed, how you changed. So, yeah, some of those songs come from as a direct response to living up here.
So Cry of My Own Baby is about the Mokelumne River.
It's about floating down the river. I floated every inch of that river. Since I've been
young,
I've come and, got in Peltier Road and floated all the way down to Lodi. I floated every section of that river.
You have floated down every section of the Mokelumne River?
Yes.
I don't know anybody else who's done that.
Yes.
I'm sure they're there, but that's amazing. What did you float in?
Well, it used to be inner tubes. That's all we had as kids. We floated in inner tubes, and then it progressed to little floatable boats where you would have like a one-man raft and you go in circles all the way down. We used paddle boards later on and took our kids out there, picked blackberries.
So you were raised in this area?
I was raised in Lodi, but I always came to the foothills. Yeah. I spent...
So your summers especially were in the foothills?
In the foothills, yes. Camping. What's the name of that place? The 49ers up by the dam. There's Camp 9. Do you remember Camp 9?
No, I've not been there.
Oh, well, when we were young, that's where we used to go to camp.
Oh, my.
Right on the river. And there was about, we had about 90 friends. And we used to go up there and camp.
Wow. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Mokelumne River is the border between Calaveras and Amador County, and which makes for a very interesting connection between the two counties, because though they have different flavors to them, they were both part of the Northern Mines, but with very different trajectories. I mean, a lot of the towns here are still far apart because the mines were far apart, and the towns built around the mines, and it would take usually a day to get from one mine to the next by horse, and those towns are still there. Mm-hmm. And if you're on a horse, I guess it would still take a day. But it wasn't way, way far apart. Unlike Amador, where all the towns are boom, 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 right together. And so they look really different, but they've always had this river. Well, not always, but at least as their final resting place of their boundaries was this river, which everyone loves, the Mokelumne River.
And I think that's how the name Mokelumne Crossing arose, was because I'm the only one that crosses into Amador County, and I have to cross the Mokelumne River to get there.
Yes, so everybody who crosses Amador County crosses the Mokelumne River at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's how the name came about. Mm-hmm. Okay. What other songs fit our area? Tell me about them, because that would be much interest to everybody, I think.
Well, Coyote Pass.
Coyote Pass.
That's written about the home that I live in now, and
that's it, what you call your area, Coyote Pass.
I call where I'm living Coyote Pass.
Okay.
Because we used to go up there, and when we first bought the land, we actually slept in a tent until we built a shop and a studio. Long before 3 years before we actually built the house. And Coyote Pass, just the coyotes would sing every night. It was just fabulous. And I used to have my little grandson up there in the studio after things got settled down, and he would sleep with me, and I would tell him all about the coyotes and how they would run through the land, and they would always run through the land looking for things. Mm-hmm. And you could hear them. It was so special. And so Coyote Pass, yeah, that song is about that.
By interest for everyone, by the way, is something that people often will mention are the animals that we have here. And it's maybe the second or third time those of you who listen to Every Woman's Hour have heard people talk about coyotes, and people don't expect them to be here, which I think is really interesting, because even the early miners talked about the coyotes. We've always had coyotes up here. People forget that we are the West, and long before there was California, this was West, and coyotes are Western animals, and mm-hmm. so they're definitely here. So the coyote pet, that would be a wonderful one for the Amador Calavera songbook. What other one?
The other one, Eggshell Paint. Again, that was written up here. And
Eggshell Paint.
Eggshell Paint, that's the title song on that album, which you can get at the Calaveras Arts Council. They have some copies there. I haven't uploaded it yet or any of that, but... Eggshell Paint is a definitely, that was when 9/11 happened, and we had not finished our house at the time, and I told my husband, I said, I don't care, we're going to move in. So we had it almost completed, and we moved into our house up there. And Eggshell Paint was written for the people, really. I wanted to say something about healing the world, and how, for me, you asked what was important. My involvement in this music is to help people heal, to take something that was so tragic for the nation and the world and actually put it into feelings. And Eggshell Paint is a very simple song it speaks to that.
So that one's a personal one. Does it mention things like about your land and the song itself?
You know, when you're a musician, you keep moving on.
That really is true.
You understand that.
I do understand that, because I was going to get into you writing lyrics. I also have lyrics, about 20 of them, that are still being sung in the Bay Area.
Oh, yes.
And unfortunately, I don't remember most of them. I really don't, because once they're done, and they moved on. And
you do.
So if I hear them again, then I say, oh, that's that one that I wrote. But I couldn't sing it for you because I don't remember the words.
Mine starts out with a string of geese going across the sky, which every time I would pass from Calaveras County to go into work where I was at the ad agency, there would always be a string of geese. And that particular day, we woke up, came downstairs, and that was on the television. And we saw the towers fall. And so anyway, that day it just really was colorful and vivid in my mind. And so a string of geese go across the sky. Their bellies look so flat and white on a gray September Valley day. It's early morning, about 5 o'clock. It's an unhealthier warning, Lord. I can't even get up to another gray September Valley day, because it was that tragic. I'm not crying. But I am emotional.
Yes. But, and that was a very emotional time. I'm glad that you recorded it for your own people and for people to hear. And because it was, well, it has affected our nation ever since. So, yeah. So at any rate, your eggshell.
I was trying to scratch that open.
Eggshell paint. Right. Eggshell paint is about the fragility of all of that, it sounds like.
It is. And being an artist, that's all I had was eggshell paint and blue corn flowers.
And blue corn flowers, okay. Any others that are about strictly about our area? Really relate to our area and living here and how that affects things.
Well,
not that they have to be. I just was curious.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think everything is reflected on the just being relaxed up here. Like sometimes in the middle of the morning, I don't know if that's on this second album, but sometimes in the middle of the morning, all there is silence. Just sometimes there's birds in the trees singing in the breeze. Just very simple songs, you know, that just kind of mark the day. Spending a day in here, I very much live in the moment. So I kind of describe the moments that I have here, I would say.
Okay.
Did you want to try a little sample of this? Are you at that point?
We will in a minute. I want to kind of get a full picture of you first here, so that when we hear it, we can understand some of your motivations as well around some of these songs. So one of the things I want to clarify, Patricia Jackson, is you are then the main songwriter for this group still?
I have been the main songwriter. We had 5 months ago Steve Lindsay, also, he's a resident in Pioneer, also a singer-songwriter who plays piano wonderfully. And he has just joined our band because he retired from his job, which I believe he was working in some kind of counseling, something to do with psychology.
Okay.
Like I say, he's pretty new. And also Doug Spainhower joined us in the band a few months earlier than that. But, talking about... What was the question again?
Okay, the question was, you know what, you got me off on that tangent.
I know, I get off on the tangent.
That's pretty good.
Call me back.
Patricia, I'm usually one who's holding on to it, but I was going off into Stephen Lindsay, okay.
Yeah, so Stephen
Lindsay.
I'm
from Pioneer, I should know Stephen Lindsay.
Right, and I had heard of him.
Other people, we were mainly talking about your lyrics. Is it mainly you or the songwriter?
We're just starting, that's it. We're just starting to play some of his songs. So he has a few good songs. Good Intentions is one of them, Rose Colored Glasses, which is a blues song, and he has some CDs out, and his are actually online, and so you could probably look him up.
Okay, I will. Okay, another piece that I want to pull in is, I know that you did the graphic arts, but what kind of artist were you before it became clear to everyone in the United States that nobody was going to make money as an artist, so everybody got into graphic arts? What were you doing before then?
Well, let's say I started out I had gone to school for nursing and then had a baby, and then I decided that I didn't really think I wanted to be in the nursing field. I wanted to watch the baby. So I went home. There, at that time in my life, I did pen and ink, and everything I did in college was either towards a nursing degree or towards art and music. I took my first piano, which I always wanted to take piano, so I took that in junior college. And then I, from there, progressed to an artist in school program, which was, that was like in the 90s, around 95. There were 10 of us, and we felt very strongly, the Arts Council in Stockton, I was working with them, and felt very strongly about getting art back in school. So there was, I think, 10 or 12 of us, and we started out going into the school on contracts. So I taught for, I don't know, 9 years like that.
You were teaching what?
Teaching art.
Teaching art? Okay.
Children under sixth grade.
This is when we still had art in the schools?
Art in the school. Well, they didn't have art in the school. There wasn't a budget for it.
Oh.
But the Arts Council...
I see.
And I would say thank you, Mervyn's, who I don't know if they're still around, but they sponsored that program.
I see. Okay.
So we went out and just went out all over Stockton, Lodi, Elk Grove. That was the furthest job I had. And then in Tracy, I also went there. Now, we started the house at that time, and I was driving to Tracy. So that's a really long day, you can imagine. You're doing, you know, 6 shows, for each class that comes in, and some watercolor, clay, any medium. I just taught any medium. If I didn't know it, I would do it for the kids. So, like, clay wasn't my big thing, pen and ink, watercolor, and oil. But I would do it for them. So anyway, we did that for about 9 years, and then... One day I was driving home and I realized I ended up in Thornton, which was not anywhere near my house. And I realized I am so tired. I didn't know where I was. I was like, okay, I can't do that anymore. So then I went into my first client, which was the Gebeke Car Company, and returned there and went back to work for them.
And that's when you got involved in the graphic arts.
Well, I was in graphic arts. My goodness. In 7th grade, I did my first posters for a guy named Jesse Galindo.
Okay.
He had a horse show he was putting on. My sister had a friend who was Well, they got into this thing where they whipped the, they had a whip and they had like, they snapped something out of your mouth. It was a show.
Oh.
And her friend was doing
like
it.
Annie Oakley.
Like Annie Oakley. And so she came home and she said, he needs these posters. Can you do them? And I was like, well, I think I can. Because I learned in seventh grade from a lady called Mrs. Lust, who we drove crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She taught me how to draw. She gave me the confidence to draw. So anyway, I took that and I ran with that and did 7 posters. But the first thing was like, how do you do this? You know, we didn't have computers when I started. I had, everything was by hand. If you needed a poster, you had to go buy the paper, buy the pen and ink, look at something. I had no idea what horses looked like, so I had to
make it up.
Make it up. I'm really good at that. I make a lot of things up. Great imagination.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I made posters. That was my very first love of graphic
arts. There you were going back to your
12-year-old
roots.
12-year-old.
Yeah. By getting involved in the graphic arts. But you're leaving straight from teaching kids art to going into the graphic art. What did you have to learn and do for that?
Well, I went, like I said, I was in an ROTC program. Once my kids went to school, I was like, I can't just stay home. I need to have something to do. I'm a very motivated person. So I can't sit still long. And a lot of creativity just bubbles up. So it's like, okay, how are we going to focus? And so they had an ROTC program, and I went to work over there, and I learned from Frank Haversack how to... I used to do all the report cards. I learned how to use a pen and draw report cards without any mistakes.
Mm.
And I found in through that I was very detailed. And so...
What is this program?
It was an ROTC program. It was for communications.
Communications.
And graphic arts is the way.
How's that funded?
That was funded through probably the state, I would imagine.
Oh, okay.
Or the city of Lodi. Yeah.
Okay. So this was back when they were still doing that kind of funding, which they hardly do at all anymore, funding.
They don't realize how grand it is for people who really are motivated. If they fund you, you can go really far.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage people out there to fund programs like that for kids. It's so important. It really changed my life. And then from there, I went home and I bought a Victorian home, 1920 Victorian home. Had a little front porch. Went on the front porch and my husband built me what's called a light table. So you put your art and you can reproduce it. You can draw it and keep refining it until you just get it perfect. And so I would be on that front porch and I got my first client. And I also was taking photography in school. And so I kind of coupled those two things and started doing brochures and business cards. And then that evolved into wine labels and, you know, just...
Okay, and into what? Wine labels and what else?
Well, from wine labels, the man that I met there, he was the president of Baringo Winery, or vice president, actually. And so we did those labels, and then he and I got along great, and there was a group of people there, and they decided to open a winery. So they went to Oregon. So we all went to Oregon. And from there, we built a winery. We learned how to do point of sale. I worked alongside of Madeline, who is still a great friend of mine. She had her master's in art, and so I would do the rough conceptual drawings, which is basically what I'm really good at, and she would take it and refine it because she had a master's of fine arts degree. She was an excellent artist. I just was, you know, I was great. I love my little drawings, don't get me wrong, but, you know, when you go to print something, it has to be a certain style,
mm-hmm.
or at least the owner thought it did. So I'd rough these things up, and then they'd give it to somebody else, and they would...
So you were living in Oregon for a while.
I lived in Oregon for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back and moved back to Lodi, and then I bought a house there and started my Jackson Graphics again in that house in the back room with a 14-inch Mac. I bought myself one of the first little Macs, and I was doing full page newspaper ads on 14 inches screen.
Intrepid.
And I learned, yes, I learned how to, and I did paste up and all that, and yeah. was quite, it's been a really interesting life.
So when you both decided from Lodi to retire up here, you didn't take that business with you, or you did? You talk about your studio.
I did. I took the business up there and I sign painted. I had a friend who was, he was a very good artist, period, but he also did sign painting. So realizing that, you know, I had a couple of kids getting ready for college, I needed to do more, I paid him to teach me how to paint signs. And so then I took that and I parlayed that into, the business and took it up with me up to the shop. But I soon found out that it was really difficult to try to buy materials in Stockton and bring them all the way up and then bring them back and get the finals. And it became a, what would you call it, commuting problem?
Yes, I'm sure there was a commuting problem.
I spent a lot of time on the road, but I also used that time to write songs, which was...
To write the songs.
That's where they... And I love that road, that corridor. Yes, I used that road and that time to do that, to refine them in the car, singing to myself. And then once I figured that was... I wasn't going to stay commuting and running that ad agency. I ran the ad agency and did signs at night, so... And went to school and started recording. So I was doing all those things simultaneously. And then I decided I needed to work up the hill instead. That it was, I was ready to commit up here and become a Calaveras resident wholeheartedly.
So now that you're, so we've got you up to being a Calaveras resident wholeheartedly. What is your studio now then? What is it
right
become?
Now?
What is it morphed into?
Well, so. It's been a lot of things, actually. We've lived in it. We had a huge fire. The Pattison Fire burned a huge section.
Which fire?
The Pattison Fire.
Okay. What year was that?
I think it's around 2003, somewhere
okay.
in there, maybe 2006. I'm not quite sure, but it burned a section of the studio, and it burned down the little kitchen that we had there. And so we took... the money that the insurance gave us, and we rebuilt a bigger studio up there with the intention of being able to paint and do all these things. But my life has always been kind of whatever I'm brought, it seems like today. This I'm here by happenstance, you know. Whatever life brings me, that's where I go, and I kind of follow what I'm shown to do. And so from there I... decided to move up the hill and work at the newspaper. See, I worked at the newspaper at the Calaveras Enterprise for a while.
Wait, you worked for the Calaveras Enterprise?
I sure did.
This is writing now, right?
Yeah,
or is this still the graphics?
This is still graphics. I became a graphics designer in there. They gave me, I worked as a, I guess we did ads and designed ads and things like that.
For the Calaveras
Enterprise.
Enterprise.
Uh-huh. And then from there, we were doing cut and paste up. At the time, you know what that is, where you
yes.
and Ruby Lith and all that stuff. We did all that, but we were transitioning into PageMaker, which was a computer program. So I had to learn that, and I had a couple of girls in there that really helped me understand that program. And then I got put on the I think they call it, what they call it now, the Lodestar. They might have had a name before they called it the Lodestar.
I've only known it as the Lodestar, so I don't know what it was called before then.
Well, they put me on the cover.
Okay.
I got to design the cover for that.
Oh, okay.
And that was really fun. And then I went from there to sales because, I don't know, it just happened. And then I was going down to Gebeke to try to get ads from the very company I'd worked for all those years.
Oh,
I was a salesperson. Okay. And when I was down there... Of course, knowing them really well and having worked there many years, they asked me to, if I wanted to run their ad agency, come down and work as a secretary basically first. So I did that and ran. I was the secretary, and then the guy that was next door, my boss, who had also worked, like many years before I worked in, when we first started the agency at a whole other dealership, we had a brand new agency now, and so I went from there to running it. And that was, and I told him, I said, I don't know if I'm really going to be good at this, because when it comes to cars, I only know, yes, that's a red car, that's a blue car. I had no idea.
I understand your trajectory around that.
So also, Daryl Gebicki, I have to just give him kudos, because he really formed me a lot as my business practices, my ethics, my work ethics. He really helped me become a businesswoman from a very young age, really, 25.
Now, you know, already that's of interest to those of us who listen and work with Every Woman's Hour, too, because many of the women who strike everyone as being very independent here in the Motherlode have had a rich background of a lot of support from people who understood what the work that they wanted to do. And a lot of those people have been men who have been extremely supportive of many of our women up here for becoming more independent and taking the reins of their own horses and learning how to manage and then going with it. And then they stand back and let you go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be quite a quality of the Motherlode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That the men have been very supportive of our women. You certainly are reflecting that. You've mentioned often, and then, you know, I was supported in this way, so that your creativity could continue to bloom and
mm-hmm.
and shine.
Mm-hmm. And every album that I recorded also reflects that. The first album, Little Blues Everywhere I Looked, all those members, George Shuler especially, he's been on every album with me, except for the Macaulay Crossing. He'll come and get me. It's just strange. It's like he'll just call on the phone and say, what are you doing? Have you written anything new? And I'll say, yes, because I always write. And he said, you want to come down and record it? So I would go down and record a dry recording, and then we would take it to the studio if it was good enough.
And start laying down the other tracks. Okay, this would be a good time. We're talking about laying down the tracks. Let's play some of your music, unless you want to throw in that you were also a Chinese interpreter or something. The reason I'm saying this is because usually at this point in an interview is when somebody will say to me, well, when I ran a fleet of fishing boats off the coast, I'm like, wait a minute, we don't have enough time to discuss all that. Is there anything else you need to throw in there before we do one of the pieces of Macaulay Crossing?
Well, I just have to say Macaulay Crossing has been just a godsend, because they are all Christian boys, and they are all friends, and they're all very supportive of what I do also. They love the fact that it's original music. They have enhanced it. I mean, I'll get John on the cello. It sounds like a symphony, a small symphony now. So we've really morphed from blues and rock and roll into something that's very substantial. And the harmonies are 5 and 6-part harmonies
now.
Fantastic. So it's all moving along really nicely. Mm-hmm. And we're cohesive as a group. So if we have, we sit and talk over things. And that is just like unheard of in the music that I was in before. We didn't really talk. We played the gigs. We learned the music learn the music, play the gigs, write the checks, and not really a social life. Oh, saved by the bell.
No, you're not saved. She'll grab it up immediately, I'm sure. We're here at Manzanita Arts Emporium, and that's why the telephone rang, and I'm here with Patricia Jackson, and we are now going to play a track that she's picked of Macaulay Crossing recordings. So which one are you playing? What is this one?
This one's called
Patricia.
Plant the Seed.
What is it?
Plant the Seed.
Plant the Seed.
It is a spiritual planting of the seed.
All right. Let's hear this song. You wrote this too, yes?
Yes. Uh-huh.
This she wrote. Turn it up a bit for us, please. Thank you. Keep it as our background music here. So that you're the lead singer then.
I am.
And you have another, somebody else who sings lead, you mentioned? One of the guys also sings lead? Or
Steve Lindsay has just joined the band, and he has songs, and we're doing a few of his songs at this point.
And at that point, he sings lead from those.
Yes, he does, and we back him up. And then Jonathan, who sings songs like Route 66 and some of the Ken Blake songs, John Hoffman become the lead singer, and we back them up. And then Gil, who does like Ring of Fire and different things like that, he becomes a lead singer, and we back him up. So we really take turns.
So you do covers?
We do some covers, yes.
Okay.
Quite a bit, actually. We're working towards that.
You know, you can, when you're doing covers, you can come on to KQBM. You know, we're on KQBM radio right now with Every Woman's Hour. You can come on to KQBM and do covers along with your originals. You don't have to do all originals because we're literally covered for that. So,
great.
So that's a thought we have. You probably heard somebody saying, "Happy to meet you." That was Dan McHugh, who does the Down from the Mountain show on KQBM, and I know that he was listening a bit to what Monica was telling him about your work, and is interested in meeting you because we have on people on our show live playing, and you'd be welcome to join us on radio.
That would be lovely.
Which would be a lot of fun.
That's so exciting.
We're an Americana show, so songs like this would be totally appropriate. Blues, anything that folk ballads. When you say you love to do the ballads, but you have a wonderful voice.
Thank you.
So you've enjoyed. So not to date you or anything here, but
it's okay.
It's been a matter of decades, so of doing this singing.
Right. And I have to say, Gil and Monica were instrumental in getting me here today, because I got a text from Gil and he said, "You know, we're not getting any younger here. It's time to do some of these things." And I'm a very quiet, solitary person, and so it's taken me all this time to really get the courage up
to come on to Every Woman's Hour.
Well, just to come out and really present myself to the world in this type of a way.
Oh, but you seem so natural. Seem so natural about it. But now that explains. I'm sitting here with this woman with page after page of things she did. Oh my gosh, you should save this for posterity. She went through all of the bands and what she's done together. You should save this.
I will, because I don't want to have to remember it.
Right, exactly. And then when you go back, I think that was a fun exercise. This
it
is not
great.
The only person, for those of you ever coming on to Every Woman's Hour, people have often will do that. They'll just go over their life and make these notes. I always say, hold on to that. That's like an oral history all by itself.
It is.
And it's fun to look at later and to realize how much you've contributed to and are enjoying life. Where do you see all of this going? What would you like to see happen for you in the not so distant future?
Well, I went to see James Taylor last night, and his concert was so wonderful.
Mm.
And I tried to see myself doing that. I thought,
doing a concert like that.
That many people, it would be such an awesome thing. And I thought, there's really no reason, if we work really hard towards something and the gods allow, so to speak, you know, that we can't be in that environment where he touched so many people last night. It was amazing. That's what I want to do. That's my goal. It's always been my goal, to touch people, to show them they are loved. There are people that are very loving, that are constantly trying to help the world. It might be underground, flying under the radar. I do a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of that. But it's time, you know. Gil and Monica seem to think, and yourself now too, it's time to share the music a little, get it out there a little more.
Oh, I think especially when you're growing older, because at that point, why not risk everything?
That's great.
You know, the rest of nature does.
If
an old apple tree is getting old, it starts producing this best fruit in huge amounts, just falling off the tree, just asking for everybody, any animal down below to eat all these apples, eat all of these peaches, you know, because we're at harvest time.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful analogy.
It really is harvest time. That's how I definitely see it.
That's how I do too.
Don't you want to keep on bringing in the beautiful and the best harvest of all?
Absolutely. And I still want to play a lot more for the people of Calaveras County and Amador and get out there.
Yes, well, we'll be happy. Ben and I will be happy to get you out there more. I'm sure other broadcasters at KQBM would be interested too. And Every Woman's Hour is definitely interested in how you made a life up here, first with your art, and then now you're transitioning to having it all be your music and having your voice and your lyrics, the poetry of your songs, out there for everybody to enjoy and to be, and to inspire them.
Mm-hmm.
To inspire them. I can definitely hear that in your song about planting the seed. That's definitely a song meant to inspire,
mm-hmm.
but in an easy way,
mm-hmm.
in an easy way.
Thank
to you. get people into just kind of rocking hypnotically to as you teach them more.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kat.
Well, thank you. I very much appreciate this interview. It's reminding me too that I need, and those of you who know people who are out there who are listening, who know people, women, who are doing music here, it's made me remember that I've not really done as many of the women musicians and singers as I need to do here in the Motherlode, because the few that we've had on, including you, Patricia, have been very inspiring people. And it's more than part of the fine arts. There's no accident that long ago there were, including in the movie, which we all relate to, that people are wandering around and the mountains going, the hills are alive with the sound of music. There was no accident that song happened, because these hills are alive with the sound of music. They really are. Of all of the arts, in fact, music, just stand by a river and tell me you don't hear music.
Mm-hmm.
You hear music everywhere. This is the areas that are still have the silence to hear. Nature is making that music around us. And that you reflected that a lot in this interview.
Thank you. That's correct, I believe.
Yes, it's more than correct. I think it's just an observation anybody can make. Just be quiet when you come up here sometime and listen. And the coyotes and the rain and the trees and the river will sing you all that they know. Thank you so much for this interview, Patricia. I enjoyed it very much. And now we'll have you meet Mr. Den, who is very moldy, as the kids used to say, to find out that he had come in right in the middle of an interview, busily introducing himself. But let's get your music out there more and more and more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Muffin warm and basket brown, smiling faces gathered round our dinner table, close together, hand in hand. I always cook with honey to sweeten up the night. We always cook.
That an enjoyable interview with Patricia Jackson of McCallamy Crossing. I really enjoyed that one. I would like to encourage those of you, please, who know women who are musicians in our Motherlode area to please come on to Every Woman's Hour. I have a couple in mind for the rest of this summer, and I'm hoping that they agree, because their perspective comes literally, as I said, almost like the sound of music, you know, in the mountains, because their love of the mountains is one of the energies that brings them to music and brings music to them, and a huge one in their lives. So I would love to see more of them on Every Woman's Hour in interviews, talking about what it means to be a woman, making a difference in the Motherlode through her music here. We have so much music that I want to encourage you to understand a little bit about what KQBM is about that too, because KQBM really came to be to provide the music that everyone wants to hear here in the Motherlode that they don't have otherwise on more commercial channels or on any dials near them, or that they're finding as satisfying in the more public domain of online. They want to be hearing local music especially. And KQBM is wild about doing that. If you listen, you can hear a lot of our local performers, even in between broadcasts. But a lot of our music is about the local people on KQBM, and we're going to be hoping to have at least part of the band of McCallamy Crossing on, for example, Down from the Mountain, singing their part of the genre that it is Americana music. So invites come in from this as well. Consider coming on to Every Woman's Hour to do that. If you were unable to hear this interview, or about halfway through is when you came in and you'd like to hear the whole interview, it will be in a couple of places coming up. One will be this Saturday. Check at KQBM and you will online and kqbm.org and find it on the schedule for Saturday morning. And the other will be at KQBM later on in the next week. And then also you can find it at everywomanshour.org without the apostrophe, everywomanshour.org, within a couple of days. It will be in the archives there. So please come, listen, and we will be happy to have you. We are very thankful for your support here at Every Woman's Hour. There are over 160 women who have been interviewed now, and I love running into them in the street and giving them a big hug, because we become a network of people who know each other. So this is also a way of networking with us. Find us on Every Woman's Hour on Facebook as well. Thank you so much for listening this afternoon. Bye for now.
Finding favor with your neighbor, well, it can be so fine. It's easier than pie to be kind. We've been searching for so long. Now our house is turned into a home.
You are listening to Blue Mountain Radio, KQBM, LP 103.7 FM West Point, KQBM 90.7 FM San Andreas.